All you kind and fine gentlemen, please move forward a bit. Yes, just age. Okay. I mean, you don't need to sit on top of each other, but you know. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 13, The Glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, Text 3. However, we've been asked to read the chapter introduction first, so let me do that and then we'll do text 3 together. In this final chapter, Sri Suda Goswami describes the length of each of the Puranas along with the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, its purpose, how to give it as a gift, the glories of such gift giving, and the glories of chanting and hearing it. The total corpus of the Puranas includes 400,000 verses, 18,000 of which constitute Srimad Bhagavatam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan instructed Brahma in the Srimad Bhagavatam, whose narrations produce detachment from matter and which contains the essence of all the Vedanta. One who gives the Srimad Bhagavat Purana as a gift will attain the highest destination. Among all the Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam is the best, and it is the most dear thing to the Vaishnavas. It reveals the spotless supreme knowledge accessible to the Paramahamsas. And it also reveals the process by which one can become free from the reactions of material work, a process enriched with knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. Having thus glorified the Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami meditates upon Lord Sri Narayan as the original absolute truth, who is perfectly pure, free from all contamination, devoid of sorrow, and immortal. Then he offers obeisances to the greatest yogi, Sri Shukadeva, who is non-different from the absolute truth. Finally, praying with true devotion, Suta Goswami offers respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Hari, who takes away all misery. Okay, so now text 3. You got your sheets there?
4.
Huh?
4.
4. You see? I thought it was. Oh, I see. Okay, that's fine. That's better. So, let me read text 3 and then we'll do text 4. Which has several other verses with it, actually, but we can chant text 4. So text 3. Purana Sankhya Sambhutim Asya Vachya Prayojane Danam Danasya Mahatmyam Patadesh Cha Nibodhata. Now, please hear a summation of the verse length of each of the Puranas. Then hear of the prime subject and purpose of this Bhagavat Purana, the proper method of giving it as a gift, the glories of such gift giving, and finally the glories of hearing and chanting this literature. Purport: Srimad Bhagavatam is the best of all Puranas. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that the other Puranas will now be mentioned just as the assistants of a king are mentioned in connection with his glorification. I'm sorry, it is slightly cramped here. It was, you know, I'm sure well-intentioned that we come down here for the class, but we should have had class upstairs. So, such is life. I mean, you could still move a bit forward. Like, you could move, right? To the right. Let's try. Bring the cushion here. Get the cushion here for Maharaj. Very good. Very good. Close association. Okay. So that was the verse we thought we had to give class on, actually. But now we're going to read text 4, which is on your sheets. Okay, so here we go. Brahmam Dasha Sahasrani Padmam Panchona Shashti Cha Shri Vaishnava Trayo Vimshat Chatur Vimshati Shaivaka Brahmam Dasha Sahasrani Padmam Panchona Shashticha Shri Vaishnavam Trayo Vimshat Chatur Vimshati Shaivaka Brahmam Dasha Sahasrani Padmam Panchona Shashticha Shri Vaishnavam Trayo Vimshat Chatur Vimshati Shaivaka Brahmam Dasha Sahasrani Padmam Panchona Shashticha Shri Vaishnavam Trayo Vimshat Chatur Vimshati Shaivaka. If you nice devotees can understand, basically at least, what is this verse saying? Other than Maharaj, who understands Sanskrit. Based on what verse 3, which we read, was saying. I mean, the Sanskrit is not that difficult. And if you were listening, Hare Krishna, if you were listening, I would have thought you'd pick it up. Okay.
Glories of Sri Bhagavatam and Vaishnavas?
Not exactly. Okay, maybe the Sanskrit is a bit tricky. It's listing some of the Puranas and saying how many verses they have. Brahmam is Brahma Purana. Dasha, what does Dasha mean?
Ten.
Sahasrani.
Thousand.
The Brahma Purana has 10,000 verses. This is what it said. Now please hear a summation of the verse length of each of the Puranas. So we just read. Anyway, it's okay. But it's nice to, not that you need to become Sanskrit scholars, but it's nice to at least have some idea of some basic Sanskrit terminology. You know, it's really not that difficult. Okay, so word for word. Brahmam. Brahma Purana. Dasha. Ten. Sahasrani. Thousand. Padma. The Padma Purana. Pancha Unashashti. Five less than 60.
Five less than 60.
Cha
and
Shri Vaishnava.
The Vishnu Purana.
Triavimshat.
23.
Chaturvimshati. What do you think that means? Take a wild guess. What do you?
Huh?
24. You're pretty sharp. Because Triya Vimshat, the last word, meant 23. So Chatu Vimshati means 24. Shaivakam, the Shiva Purana. Now, actually, there is another, five verses here. I'll just read them. Dashashto Shri Bhagavatam. What do you think that means? Dashashto Shri Bhagavatam. What do you think that means? Dasha Ashta. 18. Shri Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses. Naradam Pancha Vimshati. Yeah, has
25.
Markandam Navavanam Cha. I won't ask you that. Dasha Pancha Chatu Shatam. Chatur Dasha Bhavishyam Syat. Tata Pancha Shatani Cha. Dashashto Brahma Vaivartam. Langam Eka Dashaivatu. Chatur Vimshati Varaham. Eka Shiti Sahasrakam. Skandam Shatam Tata Chaikam. Vamanam Dasha Kirtitam. Kormam Sapta Dashakyatam. Matsyam Tattu Chatur Dasha. Ekona Vimshat. Soparnam Brahmandam Dwadashaivatu Evam Purana Sandohash Chatur Laksha Udharata Tatrashtadasha Sahasram Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate. Translation. The Brahma Purana consists of 10,000 verses. The Padma Purana of 55,000. Shri Vishnu Purana of 23,000. The Shiva Purana of 24,000. And Srimad Bhagavatam of 18,000. The Narada Purana is 25,000 verses. The Markandeya Purana 9,000. The Agni Purana 15,400, the Bhavishya Purana 14,500, the Brahma Vaivarta Purana 18,000, and the Linga Purana 11,000. The Varaha Purana contains 24,000 verses, the Skanda Purana 81,100. the Vamana Purana 10,000, the Kurma Purana 17,000, the Matsya Purana 14,000, the Garuda Purana 19,000, and the Brahmanda Purana 12,000. Thus, the total number of verses in all the Puranas is 400,000. 18,000 of these, once again, belong to the beautiful Bhagavata. He's repeated it. He mentions Bhagavatam in the list, the first of the Puranas mentioned in the second verse, but then at the end he mentions it again. Ashtadasha Sahasra, 18,000, Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate. It is said the Bhagavatam has. Okay, so, purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has quoted from the Matsya Purana as follows. Ashtadasha Puranani Kritva Satya Vati Sutta Bharatakyanam Akilam Chakretad Upa Brimhitam Lakshanaikena Tat Proktam Vedarta Paribrimhitam Valmikinapi Yat Proktam Ramo Pakyanam Utamam Brahmana Bihitam Tachcha Shatakoti Pravistarat Ahritya Naradenaiva Valmikaya Puna Puna Valmikina Chalokeshu Dharma Karmata Kamarta Sadhanam Evam Sa Pada Panchaite Lakshashteshu Prakirtita, which means, after compiling the 18 Puranas, Vyasadeva, the son of Satyavati, composed the entire Mahabharata, which contains the essence of all the Puranas. It consists of over 100,000 verses and is filled with all the ideas of the Vedas. There's also the account of the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, spoken by Valmiki, an account originally related by Lord Brahma in 1 billion verses. That Ramayana was later summarized by Narada and related to Valmiki, who further presented it to mankind so that human beings could attain the goals of religiosity, sense gratification, and economic development. The total number of verses in all the Puranas and Itihasas, histories, is thus known in human society to amount to 525,000. So that was the translation of those four verses from Matsya Purana. Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur points out that in the first canto, third chapter of this work, after Sutta Goswami lists the incarnations of Godhead, he adds the special phrase, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, which means, but Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Similarly, after mentioning all of the Puranas, Sri Sutta Goswami again mentions the Srimad Bhagavatam to emphasize that it is the chief of all Puranic literatures. So, I won't actually, I normally would read the verse, the Sanskrit and the translation again, but I won't do it. Yes, so, well, this is very interesting, particularly if you are really sort of interested in Shastra and the Vedic literatures and how it all fits together and how it all works. That Well, it's mentioned in the purport. Although, anyway, it's mentioned that Lord Brahma has related the Ramayana, pastimes of Lord Ram, in 1 billion verses. Here we have read that the Puranas in human society are 400,000 verses. In Brahmaloka, one of the Puranas elsewhere, Jiva Goswami mentions in Tattva Sandarbha, he quotes the verse, that in Brahmaloka, the Purana, what we have as 18 Puranas, when you put them all together, is called the Purana. In Brahmaloka, it is also 1 billion verses. So, what we have here is a condensed version. And even Ramayana, as we have here, it's about 25,000 verses or so. Roughly 25,000. Mahabharata's 100 or more than 100. More than 100, but less than 110,000. If any of you want to count it and give us the exact figure. Thank you. It would be some sort of contribution, I guess. But anyway, it's more than 100,000, but less than 110. And Mahabharata and Ramayana, they are classified and grouped together within the greater context of all the Vedic literatures, which after all contains the four Vedas, Rig, Sama, Yajur and Atharva Vedas, the four Vedas. They have various other literatures attached to them or even contained within them, like the Upanishads. Either, depending on how you look at it, attached to or contained within the four Vedas. And then you've got the Dharma Shastras. You may have heard of Manusamhita. It's the name, at least. We hear the name mentioned from time to time. Manusamhita, that's Dharma Shastra, and there are various others. Which a Dharma Shastra basically means just instructions how to live, what to do, what not to do, even in a material sense, what to do, what not to do. And then you get literatures like Ayurveda. We've all heard of Ayurveda, I imagine. That's the it's also part of Dharma Shastra's Smriti literature, which is really intended for the use of human society in a very broad sense, general sense. There's Dhanur Shastra. Dhanur Veda means, Dhanur actually means bow, in the sense of bow and arrow. And so Dhanur Shastra means, it's the Vedic science, military science, weaponry and ways of utilizing weapons and just all sorts of strategy, you know, all these things that make up the whole picture of being a warrior and even up to the point of commanding an army, you know, how to manage an army. And then, anyway, there are others also, which, you know, really they are material, like Ayurveda. Ayurveda obviously is basically material. Of course, we can use it in Krishna consciousness, but in and of itself, it's just, it's medicine. It's medicine and curing different diseases and all that. of the material body. And the scripture describing weaponry, of course, you know, Arjuna and Bhagavad in Mahabharat, as a warrior, he knew that. And indeed, his teacher, or the term guru can be used and is used in military science, was, who was it? Dronacharya. Yeah. So Arjuna, of course, utilized it in Krishna's service, then it's spiritual. But otherwise, all those warriors there, at least the main warriors, they were all trained in military science, and it's just, essentially, it's very material, unless it's engaged in a Krishna conscious way. In and of itself, it's material. So there's that section of the Vedas, Dharma Shastra, Smriti, the rules and regulations, Pancha. Then there's the Tantras, right? Tantras, like... Well, Agama is attached to the four Vedas. Yeah. But Tantras like Narada Pancharatra. It's Tantra, it's Vaishnava Tantra. Which basically means system of worship. Systems of worship. And then there's the Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam is part of, as we're reading here. And, oh, well, then there's the Itihasas, which is Mahabharata and Ramayana. Itihasa means historical literatures. And then there's the Puranas, which, of course, in many ways are historical. Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, if you read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, how many of you have read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam? Put your hand up. I read it. A handful. Now you must be good devotees and read your Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? From beginning to end. No excuses. And once you've read it, you know what to do? Read it again. And you know, you can also read Chaitanya Charitamrita in parallel, that's possible. Yes. So yeah, I was saying that Bhagavatam, and if you know, we don't normally read other Puranas, at least certainly they're not standard literatures within ISKCON. Although, you know, various of them are available in English. But if you have a look at some of them sometime, you'll see that, generally speaking, they're stories of things that happened, and great kings, and great battles, and great devotees, and great rishis. So the Puranas then are also historical, but the reason that the Puranas are not considered itihasas or historical literatures is because the itihasas, the classical historical literatures, Mahabharata and Ramayana, they, each of them is just one story. It's just one story. The Ramayana, of course, is just, it's the story of Lord Ram. And, you know, there are many other little stories which are told, but it's all in the context of the story of Lord Ram. Whereas, as we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's so many stories. They're all about Lord Vishnu. But they're like, in a sense, they're separate stories. And even the story, even if we say, well, Bhagavatam is about Krishna, but Krishna specifically is really only focused on in the 10th canto, 10th and 11th and the other cantos, different avatars are described: Nrsingadev, Varaha, Vamana, Kurama, and so on and so forth. They're described. Whereas, like Mahabharata, it's the story of the Pandavas, or it's the story, you could say, of Krishna. You know, the whole literature is dedicated like that, in very specific terms. So, like this, there's a difference. So well, look at that. All these different Puranas are listed out here, and how many verses they have. It is not mentioned here. I don't know if it's going to be mentioned somewhere else, but different of the Puranas are in different of the modes of material nature. That is described. It's not described here. It's described in Padma Purana. They're all listed out, all those 18, the same 18, and the various of them, like Padma Puranas in the mode of goodness, Vishnu Puranas in the mode of goodness, Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, is in the mode of goodness, and some others I actually forget offhand. But then Brahma Purana, Brahmanda Purana, and some others, they're in the mode of passion. And then Shiva Purana, Linga Purana, which is connected also with Lord Shiva, and various others are in the mode of ignorance. You know which is which offhand? If not, it's okay. No. Which one? Skanda is in passion, is it? Okay. I forget the exact details, but they also divide it up like that in the different modes. Like is mentioned here in the purport, at least there's mention that Ramayana in Brahmaloka, as related by Lord Brahma, has 1 billion verses. Here it's only 25,000. Here our Purana in the heavenly planets and Brahmaloka, the 18 Puranas are one literature. They're called the Purana. They were divided into 18 by Vyasadeva, actually. Up until the time of Krishna, the Puranic literatures, they were also on this planet one literature, the Purana. But then Vyasadeva, he separated them out, and therefore his name is Vyas. Vyas means divider. Veda Vyas, the divider of the Veda. Because ultimately, actually, up until the time of Vyas, there was only the whole thing, everything was just one literature called the Veda. And there was a section of it called the Purana. Like this. Jiva Goswami, it's interesting. In Tattva Sandhava, he goes to some lengths to make the point that just because, like we read here, Ramayana in Brahmaloka is 1 billion verses, and he mentions one of the other Puranas saying that Mahabharata in Brahmaloka is 1 billion. I mean, the Purana in Brahmaloka is 1 billion, and we only, all the Puranas together, the Purana, so to speak, here, is 400,000. You might think, aha, we are losing out. Where's the other 990,600,000 verses? We must have missed some nectar. Or maybe we actually missed not just nectar, but maybe we missed some information we need. Maybe we got shortchanged. But Jiva Goswami makes the point that the essence of everything is in the Puranas as we have them. Nothing is missing. And particularly, everything is in Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything's in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, who is mentioned in the purport here, and the purport of the other verse I read, verse 3, that purport, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is mentioned. So he, in one of his purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the story of Pondraka, he makes a very important point in this regard. He makes the point. Have you heard of Pondraka?
No.
Yes. No.
No.
That's terrible. You must find out. You must read at least the Krishna book. So Pondraka, he was a big rascal who was very envious of Krishna and wanted to take the position of Krishna. And by the mercy or by some arrangement of Lord Shiva, he had four arms. He actually had four arms. Not that he just had, you know, a couple of extra ones. Somehow. Maybe, I don't know. Surgically attached. I mean, people can do things like that. And his body was blue. In other words, you know, arguably he looked something like Lord Vishnu. So, and he was challenging Krishna that, who do you think you are? You're saying you're Vishnu, people say you're Vishnu, but I'm Vishnu. And you're just impersonating me. And this is very wrong. And I'm going to punish you. So he challenged Krishna, and there was a battle. And at the beginning of the battle, Krishna appeared in a four-armed form. And Pondraka told Krishna that you've got my four symbols, the chakra, the club, the conch, and the lotus. And so he challenged Krishna, give me them back. And said, particularly, give me the chakra. I want my chakra. Give it to me. And Krishna said, okay, you want the chakra? Here it comes. But you have to be able to catch it. And Krishna just released the chakra. And it was just meteoric. And Pondraka failed. He tried to catch it, but he failed. And he was decapitated. That was the end of Pondraka. But the point I was making is that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in one of the purports in that chapter, he makes a very interesting point that in Srimad Bhagavatam, everything is very condensed. And what is said in other literatures in 10 verses, or in some cases 100 verses, in Bhagavatam you'll find the same thing said in one verse. He's referring to, it was Shukadev Goswami's talking about Pondraka right at the beginning of the chapter. And Shukadev Goswami, actually what Shukadev Goswami does, he says that there was, basically, there was a demon called Pondraka, and he was such a rascal and a fool that he thought he was Krishna, and he challenged Krishna, something along those lines. And you can have a look and see. And then a few verses later, Shukadev Goswami says, kind of, not exactly, but approximately the same thing, that there's this rascal Pondraka and he challenged Krishna. Not in exactly the same words, but in effect, he more or less repeats himself. And Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in one of the purports there, where this statement is, you know, roughly duplicated, repeated, he makes the point that this is very unusual in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is extremely unusual that in Srimad Bhagavatam specifically, some statement is repeated. He says, because Srimad Bhagavatam contains all the Puranic knowledge and ultimately all the Vedic knowledge and all the Mahabharat knowledge and even all the Ramayana, it contains all those things. And altogether, even on this planet, if you include the four Vedas and if you include all those literatures, we're talking about millions of verses, but it's all there in Srimad Bhagavatam in 18,000, the essence. So he says that Srimad Bhagavatam is such an incredible display of, like, succinct expression. You understand succinct? Very brief, but very to the point. Very brief, but so much to the point. You got everything's there, but it's just so briefly expressed. He says Srimad Bhagavatam is so succinct. Not abbreviated's the wrong word, because it kind of implies some things may have been discarded. But succinct is more suitable.
Condensed,
you could say. Even condensed may include the idea some things are dropped. So the Bhagavatam is so, you know, condensed, succinct. It's so brief and so precise that if something is repeated, you must know it must be of unusual importance, outstanding importance. So he says here, in this case, Shukadev Goswami has basically repeated himself, expressing his astonishment that there was this Pondraka. And he was claiming to be Krishna. My God, what is this? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura says that Shukadev Goswami, he was just so amazed, couldn't believe it, that he repeated himself. Yeah. Otherwise, you find descriptions of some of the same subjects. Well, like an example, an actual example you can look at. The story of Lord Ram in the Bhagavatam is 2 chapters. Ramayana is 25,000 verses. I don't know how many chapters, but, you know, 2 chapters in the Bhagavatam means maybe, what? It might be 100 verses or something along those lines. And it's really got the essence of the whole Ramayana. So 25,000 verses, it's like almost 50% more than the whole Bhagavatam is the Ramayana. But in the Bhagavatam, it's two chapters plus or minus 100 verses. And like, so you can see that, you know, there's this sort of compression has gone on. You know, when in computer, I don't know if you're computer fundies, but there are programs to zip, to compress. And in some cases you can compress some files to very small size, but when you uncompress, you have actually the whole thing. Nothing's missing. Literally nothing's missing at all. It really was, the actual thing was compressed, and not just, you know, reduced and made less in that sense of removing things. Like in Ramayana, the story of, or the description of Lord Ram lamenting when Sita is kidnapped. His lamentation goes on for, it's like at least three or four chapters, just going on and on. It's hundreds of verses of Lord Ram expressing his feelings of separation. In the Bhagavatam, I think there's one verse. And indeed that verse says, with all due respect to all the respectable personalities, that when Sita was stolen, Lord Ram lamented just like a husband who has lost his wife. In this way he taught people what happens if you become too much attached to your wife. look it up and read it yourself. It's right there in, I think it's the ninth chapter of the ninth canto. You look it up yourself. Yeah.
Can you copy it for
us? Sorry?
Can I get some copies of that one?
Of that verse?
The one
that
tells you what to do with your wife.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama. Rama Rama.
But basically, it's just one verse. And it says, you know, that Lord Ram felt great separation, which of course he did. And Prabhupada explains very nicely in the purport that Lord Ram's feelings of separation are completely transcendental. Have a look and see yourselves. You can find it easily. But in the Ramayana, it's just chapter, it's a few, good few chapters. Yeah. So the point that I'm making is that even though, as mentioned here, Ramayana in Brahmaloka is spoken by Lord Brahma, Ramayana is a billion verses, here it's 25,000. And the other examples are there. But nothing's lost. The essence is not lost. And we shouldn't be in anxiety that we've got some second best type of literature available to us. It is supreme. It is the supreme literature. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, essential truth spoken succinctly is true eloquence. And can you imagine, I mean, I don't know how many of you have got, well, yeah, we asked, who has read the whole Bhagavatam? Not so many, actually. And it's a bit of a thing. You've got to work at it to get through the Bhagavatam. It's a mission. You've got to really discipline yourself and read every day. Otherwise, you never get through it. But imagine reading a billion verses. You know, I would imagine it just wouldn't be physically possible in a human lifetime. But we have the same value. We have the same value in the 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're very, very fortunate. At the end of the purport, the point is made, it's an interesting point. The point is made that, as we mentioned, at the end of these verses, these six verses, chapter 4 through 9, right at the end, having read in the first verse, it's the first line of the second verse, Dashashto Sri Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses. Then, at the end of the last verse, Tatra, Therein, Ashtadasha Sahasram, same thing, 18,000, Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate. At the end, having already mentioned the Bhagavatam, at the end of the list, he mentions the Bhagavatam again, but he already mentioned it. So, as it appears to be Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has made the point that just as in the third chapter of the first canto, Suta Goswami lists out the incarnations of Godhead, including Krishna. He's included in the list. It's not the last one. After Krishna, there's Buddha, then Kalki. But then at the end of the whole list, Suta Goswami says, Krishna stu Bhagavan Svaya. Yeah. What's that verse? He knows everything. 1328. Tell us the Sanskrit. More or less, yeah. Ete Changsa Kalapumsa basically means there are many avatars of different types. Some are complete, some are partial. There are many different avatars. But Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Out of all of them, Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan, the original Bhagavan, the actual original Bhagavan. So the point is made here in the purport that the same sort of technique or whatever you would say, the same way of putting things is used here. We've got this whole list of the Puranas, 18 Puranas with their verses, and Bhagavatam's included, but then at the end Bhagavatam is mentioned again to really bring it out and present it clearly. Just see, it's the most important. Just like with that whole list of avatars, the third chapter of the first canto is listing out all the avatars. So the list is there, Krishna's mentioned, and at the end, just see, special mention is made of Krishna to really give emphasis to Krishna, because that's the point. When you read Bhagavatam, the point you're meant to get is that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. When it comes to all the Puranas, which are the most important of all the Vedic literatures, actually. So you could say, when it comes to all the Vedic literatures, Bhagavatam is the most important. It's in a class of its own and needs to really be given that sort of position and dealt with in that way as being the supreme or the emperor. Emperor means the king of kings. Emperor, in order for someone to be an emperor, generally there should be kings under them. An emperor is a king of kings. Yeah, not just someone who has an empire. So Bhagavatam is the emperor of the Puranas, which are the kings of all literature. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes, of course. Okay. Any comment? Maharaj, words of wisdom? Correction?
Madhubanga. There's just some things I'm trying to understand. All the Puranas, all the Vedas, they are eternal, yes?
Yes.
They never change, they come back exactly the same.
Yes.
The same pastimes appear again.
Yes.
Back to the same. Now, the other thing I want to know is, okay, it's a little bit off the question, but when you look at the entire planet, is there going to be South Africa, England, United Kingdom, America?
Next time.
India, and I mean, they're going to be different. Is there going to be one king of the world again like there was?
You mean next,
when the next
lifetime of Brahma?
When the cosmic creation manifests again?
That's a good question. That's a no, I'll be frank, I don't know. Interesting. But I thought what you were going to ask is that how come if all these things are given in a set way, how come now some of them are less or lost? Like parts of the four Vedas are lost. In fact, major parts, even some parts of some of the Puranas are lost. I thought you were going to ask that. Oh, and then there's the story of how Valmiki manifested the Ramayana. The thing is, they come into existence and sometimes they go out due to historical circumstances and things like that.
The other part of my question also was there a little bit in the Bhagavad Gita. In the purport, Prabhupada says, I can't give it word for word, but I'll just give you a slice of the translation. Somehow or other, this Bhagavad Gita appears to be lost. Prabhupada uses the word appears. You know, it was spoken many millions of years ago, but now Arjuna and Krishna come back to, I don't know if you use the word revive it.
Yeah.
But in the purpose of translation, Prabhupada uses this word, it appears to have been lost.
Well, it's never.
What is the word appears?
It's never really lost because it's always available, at least on other planets. But in that case, Jiva Goswami discusses it in Tattva Sandarbha. There was a curse. The Brahmins were cursed by Gautama Rishi, and therefore the Veda became corrupted, and therefore Vyas had to appear to resurrect the Veda and divide it. Yeah. And Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, which had been lost due to the curse of Gautama.
Sorry for the deep question. No, it's just I know what the word appears means, but what does Prabhupada mean that word appears means?
Well,
it's not mental speculation appears to be.
You know, generally when that term is used, it means it's not really lost, but it seems to be lost.
Oh.
It means it's colloquial way of expressing a situation. something seems to be lost, but it's not really lost. So it wasn't really lost. Maybe in one place it was not available when it had been previously.
So the same pastimes of ISKCON will happen again, exactly the same.
I don't think there'll be another Madhu Mangal.
What day are you coming to?
But, you know, Lord Chaitanya will appear again later, next day of Brahma. And then, you know, his movement will spread all over the world. You know, I wouldn't expect exactly as it is now, but in one way or another. Yes?
Maharaj was saying that certain Puranas are under certain modes of nature.
Yes, that's right.
Does this mean, for example, like the Mahabharata and the mode of passion?
It's not a Purana.
Okay.
It's not a Purana. So that's just talking about the Puranas. But it was interesting, we read in the purport that Ramayana talks mainly about Dharma, Artha, and Kama. Material religiosity and fruit of activity and sense gratification. We read that in the purport. So elsewhere at the beginning of in the beginning chapters of the Bhagavatam, first canto, first, second, third chapters, somewhere like that, there's a verse which makes the point that Mahabharata is dealing mainly with politics and social situations, even though of course Krishna is there, Bhagavad Gita's there, it's part of Mahabharata. But on the whole, if you look at the whole literature, there are all sorts of material considerations, and that verse is making the point that therefore the Bhagavatam is better because it's purely Krishna conscious. Because the Vedic literatures in general, or different of them, are dealing with different subjects, and some of them, like we mentioned, the Ayurveda and others, it's really about how to live in material life. Ultimately in Krishna consciousness, but it's not spelling out the Krishna consciousness. And this is what Narada told Vyas. When Narada came, when Vyas in the beginning of the Bhagavatam is feeling despondent, you know, it appears I've completed the job of giving all knowledge, but I don't feel fulfilled. And Narada comes and says, it's because you have not spoken about Krishna clearly enough. He's spoken already about Krishna plenty. What to speak of Mahabharata, but Krishna figures in at least many of the Puranas. There's a lot about Krishna, really a lot. But Narada tells Vyas, you haven't really clarified sufficiently about Krishna. So that's the thing. Even though Mahabharata is certainly about the Pandavas, and Krishna's so, he's figuring so much in the Mahabharata, but it's not really clear enough to help people to come to the transcendental platform in pure devotional service to really get that message that we have to take to devotional service and pure devotional service to Krishna, who is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
All of you ki jai.
Ciao.